Welcome to the Becoming Your Best podcast. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. For those interested in additional resources or services, such as the weekly planners, online planners for Chrome or Outlook, keynotes, live training, coaching, or certification, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. Now, when you listen to an episode that resonates with you, we invite you to share it with your family, friends, and team members so that they can experience the same type of motivation and results in their lives. Also, if you haven't already subscribed, please hit the subscribe button. It works on Apple, Stitcher, Google, or whatever platform you're using so that you can get a new podcast reminder each week. Now sit back, let's get started, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to all of our Becoming Your Best podcast listeners, wherever you may be in the world today. This is Steve Schallenberger, your host, and we have an extraordinary guest with us today. You are going to love what we talk about. She is a board-certified physician, award-winning wellness speaker, and the founder of BrainShift at Work. And she brings together over 20 years of authority in neurology, integrative medicine, and mindfulness to not just deliver programs, but to create cultural change. Welcome, Dr. Romy Mushtaq.
Thank you. Perfect. Nailed it. Yes. Your homie Romy is here on the podcast, and I honor all your listeners. Thank you. Time is one of our most important assets, and thank you for giving Steve and I your time today.
Yeah. Amen. And before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Dr. Romy. She's on a mission to transform mental health and wellness in the workplace and in personal lives all over the place, and currently works with Fortune 500 companies, professional athletes, and global associations. Dr. Romy is also the Chief Wellness Officer for Evolution Hospitality. She's going to tell us a little bit about that. It's so interesting, as we talked before, where she scaled a mindfulness and wellness program to over, well, thousands of employees. Her expertise is featured in the national media, such as NPR, NBC, TED Talks, Forbes, etc. So let's get right into it. She is the brain doctor. Let's jump right into this. Dr. Romy, tell us about your background, including any turning points in your life that's had a significant impact on you.
I think we all pause to think of the unplanned turns in our lives and how they shape us, or how we choose to let them shape us. And if you're in your mess right now listening to this podcast, it's okay that you may not know where the next step in your professional or personal journey is. I've been there, and maybe that's why we're here listening today. And I will tell you, I am the proud daughter of immigrant parents here in the United States. And I grew up at a time in the public school system in a small town in Illinois that I'm so proud of, where girls were just typically tracked into home economics and typing classes. And I had parents who had one mission. We have one daughter and you will become a doctor. I did that. I got into medical school and I entered neurology at a time where less than 5% of the brain doctors in the United States were women. And I love brain science and was great at my job, but Steve, I didn't practice the leadership principles you teach today. Here I am curing other people's health and not taking care of my own. And if people have seen my TED Talk from 10 years ago that's now gone viral, the chronic stress and burnout nearly killed me. And I should have known better. I'm a doctor. And after undergoing life-saving surgery and finding a path to mindfulness, I realized, like, wait, I'm not the only person going through this. And as I started to get invited into more corporate events and dealing with global organizations, I started to research what I'm here for now. And in the process of healing myself, developed the protocol, and I'm here today discussing all of that and my new USA Today bestselling book, The Busy Brain Cure, the 8-week plan to find focus, tame anxiety, and sleep again. And I think just summarizing that for you sounds like such a clean media talking point, isn't it? But this was a 15-year journey that brought me to your podcast today. And I can say I'm truly here being of service.
Well, wonderful. There's so much to talk about. Tell us about your new responsibilities. And then as soon as you do that, our listeners are going to understand that you relate. Like, you kind of seeing this from all sides.
I do. So not only do I see things as an individual doctor sitting with patients one-to-one in both neurology and integrative medicine, but really looking at population health and workplace wellness specifically. As you mentioned in my bio, the last 6 years, I was serving as chief wellness officer of Evolution Hospitality, where I've successfully scaled a program to 7,000 employees. Today, I've just joined Great Wolf Resorts, and my role is to use data-driven solutions to create a customized wellness program to our now over 11,000 employees all over the United States and growing and scaling. All aspects of health, the mental health, mental well-being, physical health, occupational health, et cetera. So it's a role that may sound unique or different to most of your listeners, but Steve, you and I are here to make the case that this is the one role missing out of most C-suites today in the United States, and business and leadership cannot move forward without having people advocating for wellness.
Sounds like no stress in this job, Dr. Rory.
You know, could we have a human moment, Steve? I mean, you're interviewing me 90 days into a global book launch, and you yourself know what it's like to work with a traditional publisher and have a full speaking calendar, and then stepping into a new C-suite role. And if I didn't practice what I preached here in this book, I don't know that I'd be smiling on this podcast with you today. And then I'll also have a human moment, because every leader listening to this has these moments. We knew the last 6 months I was in a sprint for my professional career, launching a global book and stepping into a new C-suite role. And between that and being a caregiver for elderly parents, I really haven't had many days off. I'm looking forward to a vacation that's scheduled at the end of this month from the time we're recording. So we all have those periods, but you can't sustain it.
One of the things that we talk about, and Dr. Romy and I had the opportunity to visit a bit before our podcast show started formally, and talking about becoming your best. One of our favorite quotes is, you either lead a life by design or live a life by default. It's very powerful. And so it is, you have to be deliberate at being in peace and calming yourself when there are big challenges and big responsibilities. So we'll have the chance to talk about that, because it may be a parent or a coach, a teacher, a C-suite leader, a division manager, a warehouse manager. I mean, we all kind of feel it at different levels. Sometimes it's felt, relationship. So how in the world are you going to set up a program to help a whole company? How do you do that?
First, you look at the data, right? And I think the number one mistake companies make and leaders make is, oh, Steve, yes, you're right. Our company has a health and wellness issue, mental health. Everybody's talking about it. Well, that doesn't belong in the workplace. Let them figure it out on their own. No. And then other leaders will say, hey, Steve, I like yoga. We're going to make everybody in the company do yoga. And that's known as activity-based plans. And that never works, because now you're actually excluding people. You know, what's your favorite kind of exercise, Steve?
I play pickleball and I love to walk.
Very cool. Okay. I love walking too. I haven't gotten into pickleball. So can you imagine if the two of us were on a planning committee and we said, we're going to roll out pickleball, walking, and yoga to the entire company. We're not actually excluding people and not listening to their needs. And so the way I've done it in data and discovery is, you're literally looking at both long-term data that we capture every 6 to 12 months, like engagement data, health insurance data, but also being on the ground with our people and roundtable data and collecting all of this to say, what are the unique needs of our organization? So at Great Wolf Resorts, I'll give you an example, is most of our employees that are known as PAC members are younger, on the younger side. I feel like an auntie Dr. Romy saying this now, but Gen Z millennial. We may not be talking about a cardiac health protocol, but we're certainly looking at innovative solutions for mental well-being and mental health right now, which is what's really popping up. And we think doing that. So you get the data and then you make a strategic plan that is simple and scalable. And that's exactly what I'm working on right now in a framework that has served me with other clients in the past and doing the same now. So have me back on your podcast 9 months from now, and I'll actually have data-driven results for you on what we did. I can't give you the secret recipe just yet because it's still getting approved through our executive leadership team as we're recording this podcast, but stay tuned.
Wonderful. Thank you for responding and giving that answer. What inspired your transition from being a traditional medicine to stress management?
I thought, Steve, if I as a brain doctor, and at that time I was in academic medicine, not only was I seeing patients, I was doing cutting edge research and mentoring medical students and residents. If I was struggling, maybe I'm not the only one. When I got out of that guilt and shame cycle of somehow I had failed, and I was laying in the hospital after having surgery, cardiothoracic surgery, realizing, good God, nothing I learned in medical school is going to help me now. This was back in 2010. There weren't apps on our phone to tell us how to manage stress and meditate. I ended up traveling the world, working with global healers. Like, why are people happy and healthy in other countries that, and they have less than we do materially or opportunities here in the United States? And found the path to integrative medicine and mindfulness. So that was my healing that had to happen. When you're truly living a purpose-driven life and one of mindful or servant leadership, and you're saying, universe, show me how to help people. If I'm meant to go back and see patients one-to-one, I'll do it. But I realized, like, aha, our healthcare system is overcrowded and we're not doing justice to the chronic stress, heart attacks, mental health crisis. Where is the crux of the problem in adults? It's in our workplaces. And being an entrepreneur and always having been an innovator, I was like, I had this bold and crazy idea at that time. I'm going to go into corporate America and I'm going to directly point to the C-suite and be like, what we're doing in the workplace is killing our employees and you. We need to change things up. And it took, you know, like I said, the universe came. I ended up delivering a TED Talk and companies started to call me. And this was back in 2014, 2015, all of those companies are still with me today on this journey as I've been researching to say, what are the solutions for you as an individual listening and for your team and companies? So it's been on the ground research since 2018. My initial role as chief wellness officer at Evolution Hospitality, we put all the research in the book. And now it was like, here's a protocol that you could do individually and take a lab slip to your doctor or do it as a team. Let's heal the burnout and chronic stress crisis in corporate America.
Yeah, good for you. And I think it's only got worse. I mean, I reflect upon my career and thinking back when I first started, and I've had the blessing of buying and selling and running quite a few companies over the years. I think I've never seen it as intense as it is today. I don't know what your perspective is.
Steve, your intuition and gut instinct correlates with the data. There's a few things happening that are fueling the mental health crisis. Mental well-being, let's just define that. That's our ability to process emotions, have gratitude. I'm talking about a mental health crisis. This isn't just our kids, though Gen Z is really affected differently than your and my generation. But it is worse for three, four reasons. I bet you and I got raised where when we came home from school or even college, we went outside. That isn't it. It's we are hardwired to devices 24 hours a day, whether it's work or our personal lives or both. Second, there's no more a quitting time. When you and I were growing up, people worked on shifts and you didn't think about work when you went home. That's not the case today in a global workforce and the pressures of work and balancing family. And I think those are two really important reasons, the lack of disconnection from digital devices and the lack of boundaries between personal and professional life that are contributing, as well as chronic stress, to this crisis that I cover in the Busy Brain Cure.
Well, thank you for outlining that. And I don't think many of us are spared from challenges in life, and this thing of emotional health is vital for every one of our success and longevity. I mean, to feel happy and peaceful, and what a blessing that is. So two questions. The first one is, can you share some quick tips for immediate relief from a busy brain? Like, how do we get control of this? And especially, well, it's not just during the day, but how do you turn it off at night? You were just talking about it.
We were. So Steve, I'm going to say, because every podcast host asks me this, and I'll say, I'm going to rephrase that question. That's the crux of the problem. We want instant relief, instant gratification, and instant relief. And everyone is tuned in, leaning forward to your podcast right now as they're listening on their drive or on their walk, going, yes, what supplement is she going to tell me to order? What tip is she going to give me that I haven't heard of on TikTok yet? And that's not the answer. When we're living a life of chronic stress that has formed over weeks, months, years, there isn't an instant solution. And that's why the old stress techniques aren't working. I'm a practical brain doctor. I'm not here to talk fluff with you. You're not a person that talks fluff either. We actually have a free test, and we'll give you the link to put in your show notes, known as the Busy Brain Test. Over 17,000 people took this test in our research period, adult professionals like you and I. And I ask you to go get your brain score. I want to know, on the Busy Brain Test scale, do you have a score over 30? And if that's the case, then we have an 8-week protocol for you. So number one is know your score. Don't walk around saying, okay, Steve, Dr. Romy, who isn't stressed these days? I'm just going to turn this podcast off. I want to, one, quantify it. Two, say, if you go through this 8-week protocol, not only will your score improve drastically, so will your ability to focus during the day, combat adult onset ADHD, sleep well, and turn off that anxious brain. So I think step one is, let's get your brain score. And then step two, because you're like, what can we do right now to turn it off at night? Well, in our corporate keynote lectures, we actually challenge not only you as an individual listening, but your entire team to practice digital detox, to have a turn it off time at home, that I'm going to turn off work. And that should be earlier in the evening. And then the second thing is, turn off all digital devices. So if you're streaming a great series and binge watching on your laptop, turn that off. Turn off the smart TV, turn off your e-reader. And that needs to happen. And you'll see in chapter 9 of the book, we did a research study in my previous role of almost 500 leaders and said, turn off all digital devices 30 to 60 minutes before bedtime. And the results were astonishing. Like, literally, they were sleeping better and had less anxiety than had I give them addictive sleeping pill. So that's a quick tip for you right there. One of 8 that we go through in our protocol.
So how does stress affect physical health? You're an MD. You spent your career really thinking about this. What's the scoop?
Can I geek out and talk about brain science for a minute here? Because nothing like that more. Yes, thank you. I'm so glad we get to do that. And it's all outlined in chapters 1 through 5 of my book with, you know, story laced in between. But bottom line is, where we've gone wrong managing stress is, people look at the acute stress model of something that's stressing us out, like having a report due at work tomorrow. That's a short-term deadline, something that's happening within minutes or hours. Chronic stress is that it's been going on weeks to months. That's most of our lives right now, you and I included, Steve, number one. Number two is, there is a place in the brain that I call your airport traffic control tower, and that's your hypothalamus, specifically your SCN nucleus that controls our circadian rhythm. We now know in brain science research that chronic stress of months to years will cause inflammation in the brain, neuroinflammation, and actually rewire the brain and the airport traffic control tower. And this is really alarming. So think of an airport traffic control tower. Steve, name an airport that you last flew through for me.
Well, Salt Lake City, for sure.
Salt Lake City. Okay.
Busy.
That's your hub. Great. I'm in Orlando, and I travel through there often, connecting on Delta. Salt Lake City is connected to most of the major cities in the United States and also global destinations. So if a snowstorm comes through Salt Lake City, operations has to shut down the airport traffic control tower. Not only are the flights delayed or canceled in Salt Lake City, now within minutes, they start getting canceled in LAX, New York, Hong Kong, all the connecting regions. That's exactly how the hypothalamus in our brain works. It's connected not only to the rest of our brain, our memory, our mood, our sleep cycle, but also to every organ system in the body, hormones, digestion. So when you're under chronic stress, this inflammation is like an airport traffic control tower in your body, and it's going to signal to a certain part of your body, hey, there's inflammation, shut down. And it's why some people, when they have chronic stress, they get joint pain. Me, you hear from my TED talk and the story in the book, it affects my digestion really badly. Other people, it'll raise their blood pressure, cause diabetes out of nowhere. It's all related and intertwined. And that's the crux of what we want to heal. And so once I understood the pattern of what chronic stress could do to your airport traffic control tower in your brain and the rest of your body, we came up with 5 key areas that we target in this protocol that you and I will unpack in a second here that affect the body. But that's why when you're under chronic stress, you start developing symptoms and you're sitting in the doctor's office going, is stress related to this problem? The answer is yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Is busy brain and stress, are they the same things?
No, they are not. So that is such a great question. Chronic stress in people can lead to a busy brain. Busy brain is this neuroinflammation pattern of the hypothalamus. And 3 key symptoms show up, especially in high achieving professionals like you and I serve. 1, adult onset ADHD. You can't focus during the day. Now you need excessive amounts of caffeine or a stimulant to get through your day. 2, ruminating anxiety. You should be able to send an email in 3 minutes. And now all of a sudden it's taking 37 minutes and you're distracted by your email inbox and messenger channel and cell phone texting. So that inability to focus and anxious. And then when you go home, you're dependent on a sedative like alcohol or a sleeping pill to calm you down at night. And now you have insomnia, difficulty falling and staying asleep. That's a busy brain. Adult onset ADHD and difficulty focusing, anxiety and insomnia. That's a busy brain.
How do you break the cycle? Like, let's say it's 2 a.m. and all of a sudden you wake up and you can feel it. You know, your brain is just ruminating. Is there some way to calm that down? And I can't wait to hear your protocol and I'm excited to read your book.
Thank you. Yeah. So the way to calm it down is not to pick up your phone and say, let me knock out a few work emails or see what's on my calendar tomorrow. The minute you see the digital light, even if you say, I'm going to get on TikTok or Instagram, you're sending the blue light signal to your eyes and to your hypothalamus to wake up and start stressing and obsessing again. So avoid digital things. 2, in the protocol in 1 and 2, we actually start people on key deficient minerals that they need. Magnesium glycinate, which has a calming effect and can help restore the circadian rhythm. And 2, 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan, which boosts your serotonin feel-good levels and helps you rest, and then in turn helps with melatonin. So we actually give you those 2 to reset the circadian rhythm when you wake up in the middle of the night. Most people feel better within 10 days. That's why this protocol works. They're all of a sudden. Now, if it continues, Steve, we actually have a lab slip that we actually send people to their primary care doctor in chapter 16 of the book or on the website that correlates with the book. And I want to look at a few labs in adults. I want to see if your thyroid hormone is okay in men and women. That could be causing you to wake up, chronic stress. Airport traffic control towers now affecting your thyroid. Your blood sugar levels could be plummeting in the middle of the night. Pre-diabetes, diabetes. That could be another cause. And here's the 3rd cause. And we're going to lose a few friends here, Steve, if I admit this. You know what else is waking people up in the middle of the night? Alcohol. And so on our protocol, we actually ask people to cut their alcohol in half if they're having 2 or more drinks a night, or cut it out completely for the time being, because it suppresses your REM sleep and it raises your core body temperature, like in your hypothalamus. In the middle of the night, it's going to signal you to be wide awake. And now the alcohol calming effect is leaving metabolizing out of your brain and you're going to be even more anxious. And so we also ask people to avoid alcohol. So helping it, magnesium glycinate, 5-HTP, if that after 10 to 14 days doesn't work, we check labs, looking at prediabetes, diabetes, and thyroid. But overall, we're going to ask, we've got to get off the alcohol temporarily until we heal the busy brain.
This next question probably is something you've been thinking about as you've described your new responsibilities built upon your previous ones. And that is, how can wellness, I'm sure it'll be an interesting question and response for all of us across the spectrum, how can wellness be integrated into leadership?
I feel so strongly about this, Steve. This isn't an option. It is the model of leadership today. There is data that shows companies in the Fortune 500 that are performing their KPIs have wellness as a core principle in leadership and in the rest of the organization. There's no mincing words about it. So I say it starts from the top. It starts from not only the CEO, but your entire C-suite. And my saying is this, is you can't have leadership without wellness, and you can't have wellness without leadership. So that's number one. Two, we've got to define what wellness is. What's my personal wellness vision for me, Dr. Romy? It could be different for you, Steve. We may be in different phases of our lives and have different responsibilities. Then you've got to define wellness as a mission for your organization. Most companies and leaders that are struggling, I actually introduce them to the concept of whole person wellness, that we look at wellness as a whole person, their mind, body, and spirit. So we're not going back to that activity-based wellness that you and I were discussing in the beginning of Steve likes pickleball and walking and I like yoga. And we're like, okay, we gave a few classes. We gave people a perk to get a pickleball equipment discount. We did wellness in our company. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's the whole enchilada.
Yeah. And it's an investment and it is scaling and it is a mission and you put leadership behind it. It's not something on the side that's a checkbox to say, okay, we introduced a wellness program, but really the important thing in our business this year is to drive sales and reach 1 billion in sales. You're not going to hit any sales goal if your people aren't well. You introduce wellness in order to improve engagement, improve sales, improve your KPIs.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, as a leader, you're not going to reach your goals if you're not doing well.
No. I watched my entire life crumble. Like I said, I was a leading doctor in doing women's research, brain health research, and it can all come tumbling down in a moment. How many leaders are listening to this and they can relate to that? We keep pushing ourselves to the edge of burnout saying, I'll rest when, but guess what? That to-do list never goes away.
Well, you know, life is wonderful. I look at myself, I'm 73 and still cranking a full schedule.
Agreed. You're my hero of the week. Like, you want me to talk about brain health? I feel like we should have turned this interview around. And me, so I'm going on 50 this year, Steve, Woo-hoo! And me following my protocol. I tell people I'm cognitively sharper today and have more energy than at 25 when I graduated from medical school.
Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. That's a good result of this. One of my dear, dear friends early in my career offered this suggestion. He said, I'm getting a pencil out, ready to write all this down. And he said, don't run faster than you can run. And as a young, 35-year-old at that point, I thought to myself, I can run pretty fast. What a baby. What a child. Yeah. I've since learned that that is a really great bit of advice and wisdom and trying to still apply it today. And well, we've had a great visit today. Would you please share any final tips that you think would really be helpful for our listeners?
I do. I think step one is get a brain score for yourself and have an authentic leadership moment to know what is my brain score and what am I going to do for myself? When you do that busy brain test, you get a 7-day sleep challenge as our gift to you, and do it with your team. I think from a brain shift team perspective, when I'm giving keynote lectures, I actually ask people to do an audit of how they're handling working outside of their regular business hours and be mindful of your leaders and come up with a protocol together would be that. And the last thing I'll say is if you're listening today and you made it to the end of this podcast and you're like, wow, Steve, I ran faster than I knew how to do, or Romy, I hit that wall and my brain and body have fallen apart and I'm at burnout, I just want to say to you what I wish someone had said to me when they were rolling me into surgery. Your brain is not broken. Your mind is not a mess, and hope did not depart your soul. Just start by healing your busy brain.
Wonderful. Love it. So how can people find out about what you're doing?
Thank you. Yes. My name is Dr. Romy, R-O-M-I-E. You can go to drromy.com, take the busy brain test for free. And my USA Today national best-selling book, The Busy Brain Cure, is offered globally everywhere books are sold, especially Amazon.
Is it in an Audible?
It is also in Audible. It is in Barnes and Nobles. It is at Target. It is where you buy books globally. Yes.
Okay. The Busy Brain Cure. There you have it, my friends. It's been a delight visiting with you. Thank you so much for bringing your experience and expertise to our show today.
It's been an honor, Steve. And thank you for everything you're doing and modeling what longevity and taking care of yourself as a leader should look like. I'm inspired talking to you today.
Oh, thank you. Same way with me. And to all of our listeners, wherever you may be, thank you for joining us. This has been a treat, hasn't it? And we wish you the best as you're working on becoming your best and just reaping the fruits from that of greater peace and focus and joy, satisfaction, and perhaps a little less stress. So thank you, Dr. Romy. It's been great. Adios to everybody. Signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Your Best podcast. If there was something in this podcast that you felt would be helpful for a family member, a friend, or even a coworker, we invite you to share this podcast with them now while you're thinking about it. Also, remember to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Now, for additional resources and tools, such as how to join our monthly peak performance coaching program, or how to get certified as a trainer or coach, or schedule a workshop or keynote, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. So thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day and a great week.